Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Meet the Author on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Denny Griffin and I'll be your host for the next half hour. And today my guest is Lynn Tolson. As a child, Lynn was a victim of sexual abuse and exposed to domestic violence. As a young woman, she suffered post-traumatic stress disorder, which manifested in addictions and suicide attempts. Ultimately, she was able to achieve a life that reflects health and happiness. Her memoir, Beyond the Tears, illustrates physical, emotional, and spiritual transformation. Her story offers a message of hope. Lynn, welcome to Meet the Author.
Thank you, Denny. Thank you for having me on your show. I really appreciate it.
Well, I'm glad, as you and I were talking a few minutes ago, you were originally scheduled, and then the flu bug or something bit you that day. So I'm glad we were able to get together in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah, I'm just fine today. Thank you.
Okay. Lynn, would you... Now, you obviously have had a very interesting life and didn't start out as the greatest of what you went through. Could you tell us a little bit about your childhood and what happened to you?
Well, yes. I didn't know that my life was interesting. In fact, I never thought I had anything to write about. But as a child, I was a witness of domestic violence, and then in my late teens, I married a man who was violent. And that's often the case because sometimes we marry into what we are familiar with. My childhood took place in New Jersey, North Jersey, as a matter of fact, and Pennsylvania. So much of the book takes place in the Northeast. And then much of the healing takes place in Phoenix, Arizona. That healing began in my late 20s when I came upon a counselor. And like you mentioned in your introduction, the counselor helped me towards a healthy life and also body, mind, and spirit transformation. So that's a little bit of the background of the years that the book covers.
So the counselor did a good job for you then. It accomplished what you needed.
The counselor, her name is Karen, and the reader of the book is privy to my counseling sessions as if the reader is in the room while I'm with this therapist. And in my 20s, the goal of counseling was basically to keep me alive because I was entrenched in suicidal thinking. There is a correlation between childhood sexual abuse and suicide attempts. Those who have been a victim of child abuse are 19 times more likely to attempt suicide than those who have never been a victim. And I think that's huge. And
wow,
that's part of what I do, is to be an advocate for those who have been abused as children, because the consequences are often tragic. You know, we lose human potential when we lose somebody to suicidal thinking, suicide attempts, and completed suicides. Heavy stuff, huh?
Yeah, very, very, very heavy. I didn't realize that statistic about that you just gave, 20 times more apt to that's kind of scary stuff. And I think, and you would know better than I, my perception is that there's always been abuses and sexual abuse and child abuse and so forth. I think it's being reported more now. Would you share that it's gone on, but maybe in days gone by it wasn't reported as often?
Well, I do agree with that. And you're a true crime writer, and you know the true crimes are being committed in our homes and in our neighborhoods. And the society in general, when they are aware of it, often keeps a very silent attitude towards it, or the attitude that, oh, no, that's not happening in my backyard. But the fact is, there seems to be greater knowledge now than there was in the previous generation. I'm 54 years old, and nobody talked about child abuse when I was a child experiencing it, and indeed I didn't even know I was being abused until I came upon a therapist. And now there seems to be a generation who are better able to stand up for themselves and to say, hey, this is wrong. And not only are they better able to do that, but they have more support available.
So at what age were you when you actually decided you were going to write a book and actually started a manuscript?
Okay. Well, I kept journals as a child. I didn't keep all my journals because some I was afraid of what I was writing. So
yeah.
I got rid of some of my journals, but I did save journals as a kid, not even thinking that I was going to write a book. It was more of keeping a diary to keep my sanity, to keep my thoughts together, you know.
Yeah.
When I came upon the therapist in my 20s, she said to me, Lynn, you have experienced more by the age of 26 than 10 people experience in an entire lifetime. She said, you have a story of recovery, hope, and healing that you should share. Well, I was so silenced, trained to be silent by my family, you know, never tell the story, never talk about your childhood. I was so silenced that it wasn't until 2 decades later that I actually started to put pen to paper, develop my journals into a draft, and then proceed with publishing.
So the seed was planted, but then it you didn't do anything with it for 20 years or so. But it was
no, I didn't do anything with it except think about it.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And then you finally reached the point where you felt the time was right.
I reached that point, but I finally realized that the message that I had would help people more than if I continued to keep it a secret. I nothing gets solved in silence, and
right.
I wasn't helping to solve problems in our society by being silent. So it became a greater mission to tell the truth and help others than to keep it within myself.
Let me interrupt for just a second. If anyone would like to ask Lynn a question or make a comment, you can reach us at 646-478-0982, 646-478-0982. And also, if you're on the Blog Talk site and you go into my chat room, Dennis N. Griffin, you could text a question and we will respond to it, or Lynn will respond to it over the air. And I'm going to ask Lynn in a few minutes to give out her contact information if the subject matter, perhaps, if you're not comfortable discussing it in front of other people, maybe you could reach her through email or something later on and develop a dialogue. So if you have a paper and pencil handy in a couple of minutes, I'll ask Lynn to give out her contact information so you can reach her directly.
Okay.
So, Lynn, how long did it take to write the manuscript? And when you were doing that, you obviously had to relive a lot of things that may not have been very pleasant. Was it a tough experience? Was it fairly, had enough time passed that it was fairly easy to do, or was it a problem?
Well, there's quite a few questions in there, and I have the answers to them.
Okay.
I actually started at the age of 43.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by started was I started developing paragraphs, chapters, and reliving it was so intense that I went back into therapy.
Wow.
And yes, but it was a very positive experience, and it was actually quite necessary. I learned so much more about myself and about healing in that second round of therapy that it was worth my while. But yeah, sometimes I would have what is called flashbacks. And that's a part of PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, where the person is reliving the experience, as you said, and thus the need for therapy to hold myself together. But again, I realized at that time that the mission to tell the story and to help others was greater than whatever I was suffering in that moment.
Now, did you have the same therapist?
No, I didn't have the same therapist, but ironically, the therapist that I came upon had the exact same name, which is Karen.
Okay.
Yes. So
it almost felt like.
Yeah, two decades apart with the same name. Mm-hmm.
And were you equally pleased with the results of the second therapist, the second Karen?
Yes, I was. We had a great rapport, and she was just what I needed at the time.
So you started, you say, at age 43, and you were starting to write paragraphs and do things. When was the actual manuscript done, when it was ready to submit?
It took a while. At the same time, I'd gone back to school to get a degree in social work because I wanted to have an objective view of the behaviors within families.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to school full-time at the same time. So from actually saying, okay, I'll do it, I'll make this a book, to actual manuscript was about 4 years.
Now, because you had lived a lot of this, or most of it yourself, did you have to do outside research, too? I mean, maybe get statistics and do other things, or was everything done pretty much from your memory and your journals?
No, I did not want a fully subjective memoir. I wanted to be accurate in what I was talking about. One of the things that I was talking about in the book is repressed memory and or suppressed memory. So I did a lot of study, and I also did a lot of formal research while I was in school to get a degree as a social work and a minor in sociology. So I had a lot of formal research. So when I say that there is a correlation between sexual assault and suicide attempts, this is something that I've actually studied, done research on, and presented that research at various social work institutes.
So it sounds to me that your book is, 4 years in the writing, and then you had your own personal experiences and not trusting solely to your memory. You also had some journals that you would save, so you had some records to go by of your own. Plus, you've done a lot of independent and outside research on the subject in general, in addition to your own experiences. So it seems like you put an awful lot together here that would be a benefit to people in that type of situation or who want to know more about it.
Right. It became my life's work, and it still is. I'm very, we use the word passion a lot, but this is what I do. I am an advocate for victims. I was silenced for 43 years, and by that I mean I never told anybody but my therapist. And then I even withheld some things from that therapist when I was in my 20s. So, yeah, this has been a passion of mine. My day job is as a real estate agent, but what I really want to do is to speak out against child sexual abuse in particular so that we can learn more peaceful patterns in our families.
You were mentioning before we went on the air that you also help people write memoirs. Am I correct?
I do. I have started to coach others on the memoirs, and the reason is there are a lot more memoirs on the market than there used to be, and I think that the reason for that is because of the ease of publishing via print on demand.
Yes.
The reason I want to coach others is because I've read some of the memoirs, and they're I applaud people for telling the truth, but I feel like, I think, that if someone is going to present a book to the public, it should be as well written as possible. And so in order to increase the popularity of print on demand, I coach others in their memoir writing so that they can present a perfect copy or as perfect as possible to the public.
I highly applaud what you're doing and agree with the idea that you want to get as good a quality product out there as possible. And and certainly, well, we'll get into that in a minute. We're going to talk a little bit more about publishing and marketing.
Okay.
Do you have time, Lynn, to give out your contact information, how people can get a hold of you if they have a question, comment, or whatever?
Sure. And I'm always I always welcome comments and questions. My website is B beyondthetears.com, and Beyond the Tears is all strung together. I have a blog that is attached to the main site. The main site is static. The blog is what I update weekly. And to contact me via email, it's info@beyondthetears.com.
Okay, info@beyondthetears.com.
Yes.
Okay. Now, when you finished the manuscript, we're going to talk now more about the publishing and then the marketing aspect. You had to find a publisher.
Yes.
And what was that experience like for you? What route did you go?
Okay. The experience was very difficult. The publishers want you, the writer, to already have an agent. The agents won't take you on unless you already have a publisher.
Catch 22.
Yes, and in the case of memoirs, it seems as though a person has to be a celebrity so that the publisher is assured of a bestseller. I mean, even Dennis Rodman can have a memoir written and it becomes a bestseller. It's a sure bet.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a very difficult time. What happened was, when I was ready to publish, I had breast cancer. And it was quite serious, and it was a do-or-die situation. I was saying, I'm going to publish this book if it's the last thing I do. So I researched three print-on-demand companies. I picked one, and I went the route of print-on-demand in order to get my book circulating, should I die from cancer in the next year.
Uh-huh.
So that's another whole dramatic story.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I've, a question I was going to ask you, and I forgot. Let me backtrack for a second. Beyond the Tears, is that the type of thing or the subject matter, I guess it would be more appropriate, that there would be a sequel at some point or an update or something like that? I mean, is there more to this? Do you expect to write more about that subject?
Oh, yeah, I love to write, and I wish I didn't have a day job so I could write all the time. yeah. And I've been to postgraduate writers' conferences, and writing is just something I would prefer doing. Yes, people get to the end of my book, they email me and say they want more.
Mm-hmm.
I think the more is going to be about the cancer experience.
Right.
And people ask me, you know, you went through so much in your childhood. How was it that you had to go through this in your 40s with breast cancer? And I think I'm going to approach the multiple adversities and how one can hope to recover.
And you already have a fan base. I mean, you know, people who have read you and are interested in what you have to say. So that second book, even though the subject is slightly different, should still be the same reader base.
Yeah, and the other thing is that although the subject matter is different, it is still in terms of facing adversity and overcoming it.
Right.
And, yeah, and I have not been able to write a draft of my cancer experience without inserting some of my childhood into it, because when someone has been a victim of child abuse, it is woven into every aspect of their being. No matter how much that person recovers or has hope and healing, it is still always with them, it being the effects of child abuse.
Mm-hmm. Getting back to publishing, now, I hate to jump back and forth, but I did want to ask you those couple of questions. Okay, so you went, decided on a print-on-demand, and you felt at that point the timing was critical. You wanted to get moving. Now, print-on-demand, I know, for example, I started out writing mystery thriller fiction. I went with an outfit company at the time. It was called First Books. It was they were ebook, in fact, at the time, and I had I went the query letter route and submit three checks, you know, all that kind of stuff with the traditional
mm-hmm.
publishers, the ones that would accept a submission without an agent. And that excluded most of the big houses.
Right.
But I got frustrated after several months of that, and I ended up putting the book online on the Internet as an e-book through First Books. And I got an email from them several months later, and they said, you know, they said, we're now the largest e-book publisher. We've decided to expand into printed books,
mm-hmm.
and we think your story has some potential. Are you interested? And naturally, you know, I couldn't agree fast enough to actually have the book in print. And at that time, they were only charging, I guess at least they said it cost so much money to put in the digital file and all this kind of thing. So they were charging $75, and that was the total cost
wow.
to me.
Wow.
Excuse me. So I went that route, and then I learned that there's something called marketing. we'll get into in a minute. But that company now, First Books, is now Author House, and they recently merged with, I don't know, one bought the other, iUniverse, which is another self-publishing, print-on-demand publisher. And those options, all these options that are out there for authors, I mean, if we all had to wait to get into a Fifth Avenue New York City publisher, there'd be very few books out. Because, you know, I mean, they
mm-hmm.
won't touch most of us. We, like you said, you can't get an agent unless you've been published. You can't get published with some of these big houses or even a submission without an agent. And so I really think the only problem, I think, and I think there's a certain stigma attached to self-publishing. Some readers think, well, you know, nobody really looked this thing over. You know, I mean, you're
right.
paying to have it done, so obviously it's not edited. Obviously it's not this. Obviously it's not that. And it's unfortunate because I have seen some very well-written print-on-demand self-published books. People in the situation that I was in or that you found yourself in that just didn't feel we had the time or the energy to go through this lengthy process of trying to get the so-called traditional publisher. And some people, in fact, though, do submit things that are poorly written, maybe not edited at all, or at best self-edited. And
mm-hmm.
I think those types of books, that are, as long as they're willing to pay whatever the price is, whatever they're going through, that the publishing company, the printer, will go ahead and print the book. And I think that's changing a little bit. I think more people are recognizing that there are some very good authors and very good works out there that are self-published, print-on-demand. But do you feel that same way, or do you think it's changing a little bit now and self-published books are becoming more acceptable?
Okay, yeah, I think self-published books are becoming more acceptable. I could repeat everything you said word for word. I used First Books that then
oh.
went to Author House. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes. I did an ebook the first year, but I've actually dropped the ebook and my book is available via paperback. Author House did a very good job for me in terms of printing the book and the appearance of the book. I had my book professionally edited, and I chose my editor very carefully. It was a freelance editor. I chose someone who had worked with Gloria Steinem because I wanted someone who was familiar with the female voice. And so I paid a lot of money to have my book professionally edited.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's something I'm very proud of. Now, the biggest problem with print-on-demand books is that they're not returnable. So when I do a talk at, say, Barnes & Noble, I purchase my books from Author House and bring my books with me.
Okay. And like a consignment thing?
Yes.
The store would get a percentage?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But, you know, in memoirs, I don't know if I've really seen a turnaround yet to more acceptable. I am sent books to review. I do reviews of memoirs.
Uh-huh.
And I just wish that they were, I wish more of them would be professionally edited.
That, you know, now obviously going back to the start of the program when you were talking about your manuscript and how you did it and the research you did and the length of time it took you, and then the fact that you had a professional editor and paid to have a quality product,
yes.
You're obviously very conscientious. And you know, not only the story, but your name's on that thing. And
yeah.
I know myself, I don't want my name involved with a piece of garbage. You know, I want to be proud, like you are, of what I've done and the product. And I also don't want people paying their hard-earned money for something that should be in the trash basket. So I really get annoyed when I hear about or see myself some of the stuff that is submitted. And there, I mean, the self-publishing companies, the author houses, are, you know, they're in a business, they provide a service, fine. It's the responsibility of the author, I think, when basically you're paying for printing and they're going to print pretty much what you submit, that it's the responsibility of the author as a professional and owing their fans and readers and the public something, that you submit a worthwhile effort, your best effort. And I really get annoyed with some people who want to slam something together in a month or whatever, and they don't have it edited. Maybe they read it back a couple of times or have their significant other read it or whatever and submit it. And I really think they're doing a disservice to themselves and overall because their name's associated with this thing. And they're also doing a disservice to the readers and so forth. I don't know. Maybe that's just me, but I really get annoyed when people don't take the time an effort that you obviously did and put in, and I like to think that I did, so you don't have to feel guilty when these people go to the cash register and buy your book.
Right. There does have to be a conscience about it, and the other part of that is to elevate the print-on-demand industry and the self-published industry by presenting really good copy to the public. And then we wouldn't have any controversy about whether or not print-on-demand is any better than a big publishing house. We would have more of an equal footing.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing, and I do this with writing, and what I like to do is, you know, I've been in this business, and I now call it a business as opposed to calling it writing because there's more to it than just a manuscript, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's publishing, there's marketing. It's an actual business if you want to get into it. I started my first manuscript in 94, and I've been conned, I've been scammed, I've dealt with a lot of different issues over the years. And I now try to help out by shows like this, for example, to let aspiring authors listen to people who have been there and done that and hopefully save them some time and money and trouble. But and you're doing that also with your life's history, I mean, by trying to help other people who may have been in a similar situation as to what you went through. So I think it's nice when people give back something. Because I got a lot of help when I was an up-and-comer, and I'm sure people have helped you, and I think after you've been down that road, it's only right that you try to share some of your experiences, help other people through your knowledge.
That's what I try to do, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Now, if you were mentioning that one of the things about the POD, the print-on-demand books, is the returnability issue. And it can be overcome if you're willing, you know, to go to the bookstores and so forth and cut them by bringing your own books. So you can get by that. It's, you know, sometimes a little awkward or whatever, but it can be done. So self-published books, you may have to do things a tad different than somebody that's with a random house or whatever. But you can, if you're willing to put in the time and effort, you can get by the obstacles and still be a success. Do you agree with that?
I very much agree with that. And many books that were originally self-published have turned into mainstream publishing. I actually want that. I would love for Health Communications to pick up my book or Hay House. But in the meantime, I market my book myself. I bring it to different venues.
Love
and I do a
Talk Radio.
Are we cut off?
We're going to be on the archive with the live stream cut off, and anything you and I are talking about now will be on the archive for playback.
Okay.
So it won't be missed totally. Go ahead.
That did go fast.
Finish your thought about marketing the book yourself, you were saying.
Well, what you said, it is the responsibility of the author. Yeah, the burden is on the author to market the book, even if it goes to a mainstream big house publisher. Some of them I queried sent me back a note, well, how do you intend to market this?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, and somebody told me at a recent meeting I went to, a writer's meeting, that if they had a publisher representative speaking, and she said, you know, she said, if we get manuscripts, submissions from two authors, and they're the same genre, and the quality, the word count, all this stuff is pretty much equal, we will, and we've had no experience with either author.
Uh-huh.
What we will do is the submission, if one of the submissions has a marketing plan or said that with previous publish, maybe they've been published before with a different publisher and they've had some success in marketing. She said if it's a case like that where we have the manuscripts are of equal value, we're going to, and we only want one of them, we're going to sign or offer a contract to the person with the marketing plan or marketing background, because we don't have the money to send every author on a nationwide book tour, blah, blah, blah. And we want to know that we're going to have help. It's going to be a partnership. And, in fact, the marketing, a lot of it's going to be, the vast percentage of it's going to be on the author and not the publisher.
Right. That's what I say. The burden is on the author from start to finish to get the job done and to get the book out there. Mm-hmm.
And it's... I found, especially as we were talking with the print-on-demand options, and there are several companies available to go through, that getting published is no longer as big a hurdle as it used to be, because you can go to a self-published option. But no matter how your book comes out, you're going to have to market it.
Right.
So marketing, I think, is probably equal or maybe even a little more important than the manuscript. I mean, it's on an equal footing with writing a good manuscript. If nobody reads it or nobody reads the book, nobody buys the book, what good is it? No matter how good a quality manuscript you did, people have got to know it's out there. People have got to read it and tell their friends and neighbors and so forth that, hey, you got to read this great book. And if you can't get it into their hands, if you fall down in the marketing aspect of it, then you're in deep trouble.
I do something every day. I ask myself, what can I do as an author today, specifically in terms of beyond the tiers? As a writer, I get a little frustrated because I spend a lot of time marketing the current book and doing real estate, so I really have to carve time out for writing.
Mm-hmm.
But I ask myself, you know, what can I do today to get a book in somebody's hands? Especially when you have a message, you know, that you're passionate about. You know,
right.
I want people to hear the message of hope.
So you devote something, or at least every day try to do something.
Every day. Hopefully. And I keep a journal of what I've done so that if I could get to another publisher, I can say, here is what I've done towards the marketing of my book, and here is the result.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I went to this university, and I spoke, and I sold 25 books. So I keep a journal of that. Otherwise, I'd forget.
I understand that. And that's
I know,
like
I did something.
Yeah, but where? But
right.
build your resume. Like I say, if you go for another book, another submission, and it's a close call about what the publisher wants, man, they see that that activity and that you're aggressive in your marketing. You know, you think about it and you try. You're always out there trying. you're probably going to be the one that gets the contract as opposed to the person who thinks they can sit on their couch waiting for their phone to ring.
Right, right, right.
I hate to do this. It's been very fascinating, but we are out of time. Now, again, anything we've talked about after we were shut off in the live stream will be on the website in the archive show, so anybody who plays it back or if you want to listen to it or download it yourself, the full program will be on there, including what we're talking about now. And, Len, you've been a great guest, and I'm really tickled that we were able to get you rescheduled here. It's been a fascinating chat for the 35 minutes or so. And if you have any new news and, if you get another book out there or whatever, please get a hold of me again. I'd be glad to have you back on.
Okay, even if I don't, maybe in the fall I could come back on because I've enjoyed it as well, Denny.
Okay, well, thank you very much and the best of luck to you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Okay, again, I want to thank Lynn Tolson for being on with me today. A very fascinating lady and a fascinating story and quite a life she's had. So if you get a chance, if you have any questions, you know how to get a hold of Lynn. And certainly that book looks like it would be something that would be very interesting to read. Thanks for joining us, and have a good day.